Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This thing on.
See, now I'm getting mad.
Because it's getting ready to be on.
I want my whiskey to bite me a little bit. This is the kind of psychopath that I hang out with. I got beat up outside of a Denny's.
The Rockpile Report with Buffalo Bills season ticket holder Drew Geer.
He likes to get in the X's nose. Something I can't do with this podcast because I drink too much.
Chris Krueger.
My rollerblading blonde mohawk producer.
The pettiest, hardest drinking Bills podcast.
I'm an adult. I know what I'm about. It's fucking hilarious. Guys, no, that's the best intro to the show. Doug, it's hard for you to take it seriously when I try to open the show like that. Give me the welcome, everyone. Doug just can't help but laugh.
I love it, man.
I
love it.
Is it weird being in here while we do this?
No, not at all.
What do you think of the place? Like,
I absolutely love it. I think the setup is great. Like, it makes me want to join full time. I love it.
The last time you did a podcast with us, it was in the basement over at Poinciana Place.
No, it was in his.
In my old apartment on Birch in South Buffalo.
So Doug,
one of the birthplaces of this show.
As we share what is this? It's called Rebel Beer from the Czech Republic.
I like it.
I got that beer at Premier Gourmet. It was a pain in the ass to buy because if you go look at it, there's no barcode on on the six pack. They couldn't figure out how much it was because
I would
no
just say
barcode.
It was free and walk out with it. See what they did.
Rebel.
You know the neck beards that work there. They're not stopping you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, a bunch
it's like
of people
drinking a Tyskie.
Exactly. It's a Tyskie, but except a little bit smoother. It doesn't have the aftertaste of fish. Mm. Shut up, Polish people listening to this who are mad at my criticism of your beer. It's not great. I tell it to my wife every year. She goes, oh, it's almost Dingus Day. Can I get some Zhevich and some Chishkia? And I go, why don't we just go get some Natty Ice and
you
split
Polish
the diff?
People, I tell
Let's
you.
Let's get some Natty Ice and split the diff. Guys, we're here talking about... I hate it. I hate it that Doug...
Say it. Say it. I want you to say it.
It's the kickoff of our 2023 draft series.
Woo!
And we're here setting the table, and we're talking about fucking mock drafts. Chris, this is going to hurt me.
Real life, baby. Real life.
So the free agency process for the Buffalo Bills is playing out a lot like in years past. The Bills... I don't give a shit what anyone says. They've been active in free agency.
Very active.
Once again, 6 new players inked during the free agency period so far. 4 players re-signed from last year's roster, mostly special teamers. Guys like Matakevich, Sam Martin, Terrell Dodson. Jordan Poyer came back.
Bodker.
Like Bodker? In fact, I forgot about him. Okay.
Questenberry.
One more. Questenberry. Extended All-Pro Matt Milano in order to keep at least one. You know, we talked about that, how I kind of figured when I saw people thought that they were making cap space, Doug, for the – they were like, oh, the Milano extension. Maybe they're freeing up space to keep Edmonds. I was like, no, that's them admitting we need to keep one All-Pro.
Absolutely.
We need to keep one stud linebacker, and we're picking the one that we think is the most versatile. Sorry.
Yeah?
Sorry. So, at least they kept one. Got, that is a ton of work for a GM in a single offseason period, isn't it?
With no cap room.
Chris, what's that? 12 deals in 2 weeks?
Something like that.
I think for all the people complaining that the Bills haven't done enough or the bean hasn't been working, like, what do you people do for a living? Like, what would you do? Like, how would you even equate that to a profession?
They couldn't even be more wrong. I mean, he's doing work with nothing.
It's you're getting steak with no sizzle.
Right.
You're getting things that make your team better, that give you substance. They're just not flashy.
No, it's not the flash in the pants.
But flash isn't, realistically, when you think back to the last handful of teams that have won the Super Bowl, look at the fucking Chiefs. Everyone said, like, oh my God, they lost Tyreek Hill. How could they possibly be good on offense? They go, Marvis Valdez.
Scantling.
MVS. How, like, this wide receiver core can't compete.
No.
A bunch of rookies on defense. How is this team going to? They won the fucking Super Bowl.
Whole thing. 70-plus sacks for the Eagles. Guess what? Didn't matter.
And this is it. It's like if you get caught up in the sexy things, the big things, this is it. This is where you win and lose. It's in reality, you need to build a sound and a deep football team.
Depth is everything.
What team in the AFC, Doug, if you could argue, got more derailed by injuries? You think about the teams that could have been contenders, and then injuries just kind of pulled them apart. I'd argue the Chargers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they lost. They rarely had Keenan Allen and Mike Williams on the field at the exact same time.
No. Who's your tackle?
Hurt. They were hurt.
Yeah, who's it? Kuhn?
No. No.
On
Slater. Slater.
Slater. Yeah, Slater. Yeah. He was a first round pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was out. So injuries definitely matter. I mean, again, we hate him, but look at the Dolphins.
Sure. But this is my point. You know? So think about the AFC teams this year that fell on their faces because of injuries. You're talking about the Chargers. You're talking about the Dolphins, who just they started a playoff game with Skylar Thompson.
We almost lost. I was sitting right next to you.
Yeah.
At the
Doug,
game.
You were at the game with me. Literally, you and me sitting in the stands together. We almost lost that football game.
Sure did.
But at the end of the day, they should have beaten us. If mm-hmm. you look back at it, if they had Tua, if they had a healthy offensive line, if they had all of their wide receivers.
Right.
There's a world where they maybe beat us.
Yeah.
I don't know. You could say the same thing for the Bills if they had Von Miller or, I don't know, any one of the the Bills were up there. I'd argue the Bills were probably one of the more successful teams. All the injuries. Well, if you want to talk about teams that, in terms of man games lost, most of the teams that suffered the way the Bills suffered just fell apart. The Bills made the divisional round. Like, that's it. You made the divisional round riding all of the injuries. Mm-hmm. All of the stuff that had gone on. I mean,
the emotional strain.
The emotional strain of some of them being national stories.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a war of attrition, and yet you made the... That says a lot about who you are as a franchise.
Oh, that's true. I mean, that just backs up your opinion. When they were completely healthy, I'm talking 100%
yes.
completely healthy, what did they do the first 2 weeks?
You were mowing down
everybody.
You were
varsity, and they were JV.
And that's it. So when you think about it through that lens, for all the Bills fans who are out here clamoring for giant change...
You went 14-3. With injuries. You went 14-3.
With ridiculous injuries that I don't think you could prognosticate or forecast again for a team like ours. So with that in mind, you take a look at the types of players they obtained during this picture... Like during this week or two of free agency, and a picture starts to form.
Can we acknowledge this?
Yeah.
If you listen to our pre-free agency shows, I'm very happy that you didn't get any of them correct.
Yeah, but also
you've been good at getting free agencies before.
This is true.
Your Zach Browns, your Ty Insekis, Just because I don't like you, I'm glad that you didn't get any of them correct.
Why? I missed it. What did he? What? Where was he going with? Where were you going with the free agency?
No,
start?
I just named a lot of guys. Levante David. I was with everybody else. I go, listen, we need to replace Trey. Turns out Bean was like, man, fuck that middle linebacker. I'll draft a guy. We did it before. We can do. And then so when I saw that, I circled back and I looked and I go, oh wait, remember in 2017 when Preston Brown was our middle linebacker?
Oh, I'm sorry. Who led the league in tackles?
Yeah. So this was
remember
my
the
point.
Contract he got from Washington?
Yep. So it led me to reshaping the way I've looked at this. And now you look at what they've landed: starting guard, depth guard,
check.
Offensive offensive tackle, mm-hmm. a running back 2-3 candidate. They've got a starting safety back. They not only swapped out an underperforming slot wide receiver, but they brought in a slot wide receiver 4 and 5, both of whom who have special teams utility. They brought in a backup quarterback.
Who's a friend of the main quarterback?
They fleshed out their special teams unit to make sure that that unit will continue to be one of the NFL's best.
Three phases. McDermott loves that special teams.
Bean has literally tried to do this every offseason. He uses free agency to round out all the holes in our roster so that he can take advantage of the strongest parts of the draft, wherever that may be and however the draft board may fall. Mm-hmm. Address needs, but at a time Bean sees them as being most beneficial given the quality of the draft board. So as we sit here today after free agency, Doug, we've got the thanks to our fucking setup here. And the
I
fact
love
that,
the setup. It is absolutely beautiful here.
The fact that I've got a
Chris,
producer.
Chris, excellent work.
The fact that, exactly, all Chris. I did none of the work.
Drew had nothing to do with the setup of this. Drew, you have this inability to women have it when like I 100% Larissa.
I like how he's about to alienate like half our listeners. He's just like women
have this. I guarantee you Larissa had this.
He's been listening to way too much Ben Shapiro lately.
Yeah, I guarantee you Larissa walked into your new house, you know, on a walkthrough before you put in an offer, and she just envisioned This being here, this being over here, this is what the upstairs is going to look like.
This is where I'm going to yell at my son.
Yes. For me, down here, when this room was just bare bones, I had a vision. I could see it. I explained it to you. You couldn't grasp it. You had no,
nope.
You had no vision of it at all.
Chris, we came from a kitchen fucking table.
Yeah, we were
Doug, when he's telling me, oh, I see this, and there's going to be lights here, I'm like, listen, man, just tell me what you want me to buy, and fucking
I like
let you
man.
Do it.
Look, I love the black and red wall, and I love the floor.
Wolfpack.
It's got a real, like, now, don't get me wrong. If this rug was not bluish and blackish, it would have been a great burnt orange, like Boogie Nights vibe in here.
Jessica hates this rug. She bought it, and she's like, no, I hate, like, you never go in here. Like, why do you care what the carpet's like?
Here's what I love, Doug, and you have yet to comment on this. All of those are Chris's shoes.
No.
Yeah, those are all my shoes.
Every single one of those?
Yeah.
Dog, how many pairs of shoes do you think are over there if you just had to take a guess?
24.
You're in the neighborhood. It's somewhere around 30.
Yeah. Doug, he's a man who owns 30 pairs of shoes.
Those are yours, bro?
Yeah, those
like
are all
those
mine.
Those aren't some of the kids upstairs?
No.
Like, those are just yours?
No, those are all mine. If he's good enough, I'll hand him down.
You know what? I'm not going to judge you because you're not sitting there across from me smoking crack out of tinfoil. So as long as you don't start doing that, I'll never judge you. Own 80 pairs of shoes, Chris. You do you.
I love it. See, and this is the difference between a good person and a bad person. I just criticize Chris for these things. I just punch down and make fun of him for it. Now, all of this aside, Bean is doing the thing. And fans who don't get that, you're going to forever be mad. Just go screaming into the ether of the internet and no one will give a shit, as they usually do. Bean is using free agency to round out all the holes in our roster. He's trying to sand down, Doug, all of the sharp edges that existed and say, where can I blunt this a little bit so that if the board doesn't fall my way in the draft, at least I know that I'm going into the NFL season with enough pieces that I might be able to get by. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what a good GM should do.
Right.
One who isn't pushing all of his chips into the middle of the table and just saying, fuck these picks, fuck everything. I'm going to swing for the fences and try to win a Super Bowl.
He's leaving options for himself that aren't going to break the bank.
Yeah, there we go. There's that gin.
And hamstring the team further down the road. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
He's not doing that.
He believes, I think I said it in the last show, the Colts model. He prefers that to the Rams model, where he says, listen, I'd rather field a strong team every single year and just wait for our chance rather than break the bank, go for broke. And what if you're the Rams, if that fourth down play in the Super Bowl
to Cooper Kupp,
if that doesn't land, you're fucked. You don't win a Super Bowl.
Out route.
And you get embarrassed in your home stadium by a team from Cincinnati. You lose to a team from Ohio. You should have to... In the Super Bowl in your home stadium?
The coach from Cincinnati, after every win, didn't even go to a bar in Ohio, I believe. I think he crossed the river and went to a bar in Kentucky. That just goes to show you. You know what? And he's like, fuck this. I ain't staying here. I'm going to cross this river. I'm going to cross this bridge. All right, there's a couple guys noodling. You know what I mean? And I'm going to share this, guys, with Kentucky.
I'm not going to lie to you. I've gotten drunk a lot in the state of Ohio and just told people who live there that if Kentucky had any balls, they would just annex Cincinnati and see what Ohio did about it.
The annexation of Puerto Rico.
So as we sit here today, the conversation has to shift to, and if you're going to set the table for draft picks, what does the roster look like? Now, Doug, Chris was nice enough to put the roster up here on the TV in front of us. Mm-hmm. So as we look at this, in terms of wide receiver talent, right, you now have your returning outside wide receivers from last year who you admit you need to get better. Yep. Like, you need better wide receiver talent, but also you have Khalil Shakir, who I think has been forgotten in a lot of this slot conversation.
Which I'm a fan of. I'm a huge fan of his. I do like him.
I got mad at the end of last season because I felt like you can't get mad at him when he's making drops in a playoff game. Where, like, if he caught every ball that was thrown his way that was close, like the one he dropped.
In our end, yeah, I know. But what about the third? What about the third and long that he caught over the middle of the field?
But also, my point is that if he, like, you can't get mad at him about drops when he's a guy who's literally been marginalized all season, so you could show off Isaiah McKenzie, who has already showed us what he is. Mm-hmm. But you parked him on the bench, and then when you needed him, he was still green. No shit. He needed seasoning over the course of the season. You didn't give it to him.
Someone's going to get better.
So, that's it. I think he plays a role into this. Let's look at the offensive line. Like, I know people have bitched about tackle, but when you look at it now, you've got Tommy Doyle, who will be coming back off an ACL tear is never easy for a tackle.
No.
Never easy.
For anyone, look at Trey White.
Deion Dawkins, Spencer Brown, Dave Questenberry, those were your three. You're basically just running back what you had last year. And yet at guard, they've now brought in a guy who is a little bit younger and statistically a little bit better than what Roger Saffold was supposed to be for about even money, right?
McGovern was if you go off of PFF, so with the 32 teams in the league, obviously that makes 64 guards. He's the 13th ranked pass blocking guard.
Okay.
That's a huge upgrade over Saffold.
Hey, and Sports Bully, if you're out there fucking listening, the only thing that guy bullies is a fucking buffet. But God damn it, I'm mean.
No, you're not mean.
Doug,
what do you do is you owe Cover One $5 right now.
Not even $5. I owe the whole crew a drink when I see them at the bar again, because I told them, they were like, oh, anytime anybody invokes that guy's name in our like Cover One like management chat, that person owes $5 to the swear jar. I just told them, listen, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep making fun of this guy. So I might as well just buy you all a drink now. Like, that guy And his whole thing about what did he call Connor McGovern? He's like, oh, he's a right guard. The Bills are going to play him in the wrong spot. You have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. He's a left guard.
He's a right.
He is a left guard.
Or a center.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he played better at center and left guard than right guard.
That's what some people don't realize. Like,
some people don't realize a lot of shit, Doug. That's why we do a podcast, and there's a small smattering of the Bills universe that decides to listen to us.
Like, and it showed up this year when Morris was missing some of those games with his concussion. You know.
Why are you whispering?
I'm not whispering.
Okay.
Am I whispering to you?
No, you're not doing your jazz bullshit you were doing last episode.
I just like making fun of you for it.
It's not. It's like I'm.
He goes, "Hey, I'm being serious here. Let me come in here."
It's like my porno voice. He turns. It's like my porno voice.
Hang on. He turns into Duke Silver. He's like, "Dude, why don't you guys slip into a warm bath of my jazz?" Doug.
Ron Swanson.
No, but you're right. Like when Morse was out and they put Bates in at center. Like,
it was a downgrade.
It was a downgrade.
You know, and that's a huge position that you better make sure you have someone who is very good at stepping in at a dime's notice, because you have a starting center. Yes, he made his first Pro Bowl this year, but you have a starting center who has had six concussions that are documented.
Chris, you're a rookie, brother. We sit here back here and sling drinks all night. You're a rookie.
I'm feeling good, though.
I know you are.
I'm feeling good.
But your point remains the same. When you slide Ryan Bates inside, you got to know somebody can step up. They've now built a roster where they have David Edwards, who was a career starter.
Mm-hmm. 46 out of 53 games for the Rams. And
46 out of 53 has a Super Bowl ring. You have like Bucker, who we've watched when he's healthy. He missed the whole last season.
I don't judge him. He tore his Achilles versus New England.
Like, if you're a guard who has to anchor against guys who weigh three. Imagine, Chris, the mechanics of what it takes. Now, Doug, you played offensive line. Mm-hmm. I played offensive line. We both played. Not what guard position did you play?
I played left tackle.
Fuck, you did.
I did.
Fuck you.
It's because Doug's got more athleticism than you do.
Yeah, I just
that's
had
all
big
it is.
Arms.
I mean, you have the huge arms that when you're. I don't listen, listeners. If you've never seen a picture of Drew Gear, when he stands up and he puts his arms down, his fingertips go past his knees.
It's a bitch getting fitted for shirts, but it's awesome. When it comes to, like, I don't know, slap fighting your brothers or, I don't know, doing pretty much anything except for bench pressing. That sucks. But here's what I'll say. Like, playing left guard, like, I understand, like, this whole idea of leverage and then understanding how you have to anchor. You tear an Achilles? Fuck you. Like, as an offensive lineman, that's almost worse. Like, being a wide receiver who tears an Achilles, okay. A safety who tears an Achilles. You'll be back in a little while. You'll be out there pedaling around, making things that happen. It's very hard to anchor and flex backwards on your calves with a new, like, I just recovered from Achilles surgery.
It's definitely more than a
Bakker's,
year.
Yeah, Bakker's recovery took more than a year. Having him and this new guy in the fold on the depth chart, incredibly important, because now what we've done is we've insulated the position of the interior offensive line that at least if the draft board doesn't fall our way and we don't get the interior offensive lineman that a lot of people like, we still have talent there, right?
Absolutely.
You could still put together an NFL caliber offensive line.
Right now, if they did nothing else, yes, they could.
But right now, you are what we've seen over the last couple years from the Bills on offense. Right now, if they ran it back with this group.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you've gotten some depth in a little different places, but yeah. You're still counting on, like, right now. So the interior was a huge problem last year. And again, but you said it. You know, Bodker didn't come back from that torn Achilles tendon.
No.
I don't think he played a snap. You know
no.
what I mean?
No, actually, I think he was active the last game of the season. They were just like, hey, let's see if you can do it.
So
let's see if you can do it.
He didn't come through. So, I mean, you're right. They pretty much, with their offseason moves, you're putting out the exact same product with the exception of you got better at left guard in the pass protection, but you got worse at left guard in your run blocking.
Sure. And then now you go down and you look at the defense, Chris. Scroll down for me, if you will. I mean, because tight end, they haven't made an addition, so right now they're going in with... Actually,
I'm so glad you just said tight end.
Scroll up for a second here, Chris. So, Dawson Knox is, as of right now, the only tight end on the Bills with like any kind of significant experience. He's the only tight end with any significant success in the NFL. It is the shallowest position on the Bills roster. You look at quarterback, obviously, like people talked about, oh, well, the Bills should go get like a high level. Bruce Nolan said it. He goes, I want a YOLO option. Just, who was the quarterback from Buffalo? UB, all those years ago, who went to the NFL? What was his name? Anthony Richard?
Tyree Jackson.
Tyree Jackson.
Number six.
Look at Chris. Chris,
well just played.
Just when I doubt you.
I like it.
Just when I doubt you.
I know what I'm talking about.
What are you drinking, Chris? Whatever that is, you got the truth serum in that.
It is. I made it for you, for Drew, last week. It's a. This is a.
3 ounces of liquor?
Nope. It's called Remember the Maine.
Oh.
It is a. You get absinthe, rinse the glass.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then 2 ounces.
Well, what is that?
Yeah.
That's called the Green Fairy, Drew.
Yeah.
Come on, get
and
your
then
shit together.
You have 2 ounces of bourbon, 3/4 ounce sweet vermouth, and then 1/4 ounce of cherry hearing.
You know what, Chris? You're a great fucking guy. You are. You're a great fucking guy.
Okay. Is that because you're loaded up on my gin cocktail right now?
Listen, man, those with the egg whites, fantastic, man. Those two gins, fan-freaking-tastic.
Hey, let me ask you this. Doug. This is way more important. Doug, let me ask you this. Have you ever talked to Emma about a third kid?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that might happen on April 27th.
No, that won't.
When I come over for the draft?
No, that will not happen.
I liquor up your wife on those nights.
Rocco has destroyed us. Yeah. Mentally, I have never been broken by a human being in my life. I am mentally strong. I can get over a lot of stuff. My son, Rocco, baby number two, he broke me.
That's it.
He broke me.
You almost hate children.
He broke
you're
me.
You're like, kid, I'll fight you. If you were a little taller.
I named him Rocco Douglas, so he sounds like a dirty politician, so you think that like he could do no wrong. Like, this kid, you know what this kid is? This kid is, he smokes a Marb Red in front of you and flicks the cigarette at your chest and goes, fuck you. That's exactly what it is.
Sounds like he has Razor Ramon tendencies.
With the toothpick. Chico.
NFL draft. NFL draft. I will liquor up your wife at the NFL draft party at your house.
I'm in.
And you will have your third child off of my cocktails.
No. We're sticking with the two.
We're professional as hell. What do you want? I've got Springbok. I've got a cream.
Springbok.
All right. Done.
That's not the juice boxes.
No, it's not the juice boxes, Lasel. No, we're not drinking those. I'm saving that for some other schmuck. No, Lasel's the best. So you look back at this now on the defensive side of the ball. Defensive end. Von Miller is going to miss the early portion of the season. Everyone who's like expressing hope that like, well, no, he's working out. He's doing Doug.
He'll be back at Thanksgiving.
I don't want to see him before Thanksgiving.
Here's the
you
thing.
Hang on, well,
Doug, wait, hold on. Is Doug still upset because Doug is also a Lions fan? Are you still upset that Von Miller got hurt on Lion turf?
You were there to see it.
No, you know,
Doug was there in person at that game.
I'm not mad that it happened there. You know, it's just all the luck. You know what I mean? You spend this money on a 33-year-old who's won 2 Super Bowls, and he is having, before that game, he is it. He is as advertised. He is making Rousseau better. He is making Epinenza better. He is making Basham better. He's making Oliver better. He is commanding double
our
teams as a 33-year-old, and before that, they're number 5 in pass rush. They're number 5. At some point, they were number 4. They're number 5. I am loving it. I am loving the signing. I am everything. I'm like, I'm all in on this guy. And then he does that. Versus my second team, Detroit. And I'm there with my entire family on Thanksgiving. And I just sat there and I was like, Yeah. Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yep, that should happen to me.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And then you watched our pass rush fall off a fucking cliff.
They went from 4-5 to 27.
Yep. So now you think about the group we're bringing back this season. Defensive end. You got Russo, Basham, Epinesa.
I don't hate any of them.
Jonathan Kingsley. You don't hate him, but also against good teams, that won't cut the mustard.
Absolutely.
Then you look at the defensive tackle group. Right now, our starters are Ed Oliver, for now, Daquan Jones, Eli Anku, and Tim Settle.
It's Daquan.
Because they haven't brought back Phillips. I'm assuming, Chris, that they're waiting to bring back Phillips.
The rotator's cuff surgery.
The people I talk to, if he clears physicals after the surgery later in the offseason, they'll bring him back. Like, he'll get brought back to the roster. It'll probably be for something around vet minimum.
Yeah, just
but
like if...
But Chris, right. Realistically, if no one scooped him up by now, what must his market be like?
I mean,
non-existent. So, he's going to
veteran minimum from there. You always have...
He will come back to Buffalo this year. Mark it. I'll make a Seagram's bet on it.
Well, here's the thing.
You want to take that?
Chris, take that bet.
Yeah, Chris, you want to take that bet?
Chris, take that bet.
He will be back here. They won't let him go.
Because I love Doug Rolowski, I will take that bet.
Yeah,
because here's the thing, and Bean has done it in the past, in the recent past. Here's the thing right now, depending on how this draft board falls and how it actually lands when we're going through it on day two and day three, the Bills have two things in their back pocket right now for cheap. You have Phillips and you have Lawson for cheap that no one has signed. They already know your scheme. They already know their system. They already know the coaching staff. They're already familiar with the teammates. So you have that in your back pocket to go, hey, if I'm Bean, I could be like, okay, if this board doesn't fall how I want it to, and it falls the worst way possible, that's out of my control because you're picking at number 27. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You have that in your back pocket because you realize this. Once you do have a healthy Von back, you're top 10 in a pass rush. He proved it. You are. So you know you have that. Is that the best way to go and hope? No. Because you're going to be relying on a 34-year-old defensive end who's torn the same ACL twice.
Yeah. No, I hear you. No, I understand. And if we're just talking about holes, I'd be remiss if I don't talk about linebacker. The fact that
can we talk about that the size of the hole at linebacker is the same size of a gap in your teeth?
It's large.
Doug, this is why this podcast works. We're all about disrespect.
which is totally fine. I mean think about where we're I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, but think about where we are. No one has thick skin anymore. You need thick skin. You know how you and I are raising our children?
Doug.
Thick skin.
Doug, you
dish
and I...
Dish it out. Take it. Let's go.
Doug,
it's okay.
You used to have a fucking soul patch. We collectively ground that out of you. Like, we made
remember when
you.
I had my hoop earrings?
Doug, I remember all of the dumb shit you used to
I looked
do.
Like a weed dealer who was a pirate also. I was... Dude, I looked... You know how much ass I got?
Yeah.
Tons.
Doug, you were a chubby dude with... Did you remember when you frosted your tips?
Dude, I looked fucking... No, I was Eminem with an eating disorder. I was an Eminem who loves Stinger subs.
Imagine this guy with frosted tips and hoop earrings approaching you, trying to convince you that he knows what he's talking about, like about anything.
About anything.
It's hard to envision.
I look good,
that's
man.
That's why I love you, brother.
I love you, too.
That's why we're friends, because we're ridiculous people.
We found
a way to come together.
Absolutely.
Aren't your children, your boys, like 3 days apart?
Yeah.
They're Jack and Rocco.
Yeah.
They're going to be roommates one day.
Oh, no, I can't even. In fact, there's a picture that's circulating Facebook of them sitting in my basement in my old house together playing on the floor. And just the way that they were looking at the camera, it's like they're either going to drop a rap album or this is like the best picture of two future roommates. Like, Doug, right. We need to push him into it.
So both these kids are 3 years old, and I don't understand. Like, I know it's 2023. I don't know what the market for drugs is going to look like when they're 21 years old and they're living together. But I could see both of them doing some lines of coke at a strip club in Canada and being like, what do you want to do now? I'm starving. I can go for a hot dog. I can go for some street meat. Let's fucking go.
It's our kids are going to be troubled, though, because they're our kids.
That's true.
Hopefully we've raised them to understand like we understood that. So you just make the best of it.
Well, thank God the Lord didn't give you a daughter, because I have a daughter and she's the best thing ever. She's 5 years old and she's perfect. She does nothing wrong. But if Drew Gear had a daughter,
she'd be the moose shoving people down and bench pressing buses.
God.
She'd be entering strongman competitions.
She would be the chick in high school that did shot put in track. She'd be that chick.
You think she'd work at Tim Hortons?
Oh, that moose.
God.
I can't believe you picked up a chick at Tim Hortons at about 3:37 in the morning.
I can. Not shockingly, I can believe that.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So, here's where we land. When we look at this roster and ahead of the draft, where our holes are, you realize that we could run it back right now. Because right now, I believe, Chris, if we had the count, I think there's 62 or 63 people on the roster right now. It's hovering right around there. I know that they were at 60 the other day.
Out of a team.
You can take it to what, 90?
You have to get to 90 for 90, training camp.
It's 90.
90 is the max.
It's not.
Every team does it before training camp. Right now, you look at, like, you just look at what's out there. The team has about 61 to 63 guys. I'm willing to park it right there because I don't know how the new additions factor into that. But with that said, it's like, okay, you basically have the bones of your roster already. The way we just parked it through, you do have soft spots. Maybe the most glaring being linebacker, which we kind of breezed over, but the fact that they've shifted Matt Milano on this OurLads.com depth chart, Chris, roll down. The fact that they've moved Matt Milano to middle linebacker tells you you have a fucking problem.
Can I hit on that point real quick?
And the fact that Tyrell Dodson, not Terrell Bernard, is listed as the starter.
Well, hold on. Let me hit on that point real quick, and it's what you guys said in the last segment. It's if you listen to Brandon Bean speak.
He trusts now, that someone will be developed.
Now, so you listen to Brandon Bean speak, and we could say in his tenure here, he's been pretty honest.
Yes.
Like what he says, if you listen, he's not going to come out and exactly say it, but if you listen, he is saying it.
He's saying, look, I believe in this guy.
And this is what he said. He said right now what he has with a third round pick in Bernard.
Yep.
Okay. And Spector, who they like. And Dotson, who had to fill in when Tremaine went out for a couple games this year.
They think that they can get by.
He thinks that they can get by with one of those three guys or a collection of those three guys. Because if you think about it, they out of starters, we're talking just straight starters, who did they lose? Out of all 11 guys, who did they lose? They lost one. Mm-hmm. They lost one. They lost Tremaine. Okay?
Yep.
So they're thinking that the 10 other guys who have been playing together in this system for the last 3-4 years can pick either Bernard, Spector, or Dotson up. I'm just going off of what you don't have to agree with it. You can have a different opinion.
But being a shrewd guy.
Just go off of what Bean said.
Yes.
That's what he said.
Exactly.
And that's what he is thinking. I'm not saying he's right or wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's what you, me, or Chris would do or any other fan. You know what I mean? But, like, you heard the reports. They were in on Levante David. You heard a report on, what, they were going to sign Bobby Wagner, but he had a better deal from the Raiders. He still hasn't signed with anyone.
No.
You know what I mean?
They're not fishing.
They are not fishing at all. I believe when Bean speaks, if you listen,
he'll tell you the truth.
He will tell you, and he gives us, as a fan, he gives us no other reason to believe him. You know what I mean? What he says goes.
Chris, true or false, do you ever question Bean?
You don't ever question the contractual gangster.
But when he speaks, do you think he's lying, D?
Hey, can I ask you guys something? When he makes when he trades up for a Tremaine and gets him, or when he keeps trading back, and lands a Cook who he wanted all along, or he trades up and he gets rid of some guys and he gets his Josh Allen. You think he goes in the back room and rips a dart? You think he smokes a Marb Red real quick?
I think he does one of these. I think he's one of those guys who lights a light cigarette and just woofs it down in like three pulls.
He's really just
like, yeah.
I could see McDermott walking in on him eating a bowl of Raisin Bran, be like, "What the fuck you doing?" He's like, "Mind your fucking business, dude. I just got you a starting fucking middle linebacker."
He literally just blows the smoke at him. Get out of here, wrestler.
Go eat your Raisin Bran.
So with that, the Bills roster has some decisions to make. And this is where in draft season we start to talk about investments and overspends. Like what makes a smart investment and what looks like an overspend. Now, running backs have been a big topic of conversation.
They have.
Because everyone sees Bijan Robinson being talked about as like, oh my God, he could be the next Saquon Barkley if the Bills took him. But they just fleshed out their running back room with another running back, and this conversation comes up around Buffalo every year, and yet every time it comes up by Brandon Bean, he's like, I don't know. I don't know where that, what was it? What was the guy, ETN? So, when he goes, I don't know where that came from. I wasn't going to draft ETN.
Right. So that's the only reason why it's brought up, because think about it. So 2 years ago, they were in, supposedly, on the ETN, okay? On
Harris.
From Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Okay. And then last year, remember, the talk was, okay, they're going to draft Breece Hall.
Yeah.
So the last 2 years, normally, where there's smoke, there's what? There's fire. Normally. You know? You didn't get an opportunity to draft Harris. You didn't get the opportunity to draft ETN. But you had the opportunity to draft Hall. And you didn't. You went another route.
That's true.
You had the glaring hole at corner because Trey was coming off of that torn ACL that he did at Thanksgiving. So, and with Kansas City going up and taking
McDuffie,
who I think you wanted.
I think the Bills wanted.
I really do. Out of Washington. I did like him. I think that you didn't panic. Bean does not seem like a guy to me who panics. Clearly, he has had success here. He was around success in Carolina. I don't think he's the type of guy that panics. But when you saw that move, I think you made an executive decision basically saying, okay, yes, I want Breece Hall. I want this action. I want the help for Josh. I think the offense will be better. But I also know I can't count on Trey right now for at least 10 weeks.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I can't. So I'm going to make the decision. I'm going to try and hit on this guy. And don't get me wrong, Elam's been fine.
Sure.
I have no complaints. Absolutely fine.
But now here's what I'll say. And that was a smart move. Now, you look at what this might be. Now, Chris, everyone's talking about Bijan Robinson to the Bills. If he's not the running back, there isn't a fucking running back worth taking. Not early.
No, because Gibbs from Alabama...
Jahmyr Gibbs. Listen, as a guy who watched him play this year,
right, and you're a Bama fan.
If you spend a top 60, a top 90 pick on that guy, you're an asshole.
You know.
So with that said, it's not a good usage of assets. Chris, you talk about all the time. Bean likes to be cheap at the running back position, both in terms of capital and in terms of what he spends. Mm-hmm. I do not see him. I think that would be an overspend. If you were to do like all the people who want Bijan Robinson, that's an overspend.
For Bean?
Let's talk about top 60. If you took a running back in the top two, they did it last year, and you saw how marginalized that player got.
That's true.
It's an overspend. Now, let's talk about interior offensive line versus wide receiver debate, because that's a thing. Everybody is clamoring for skill players. They go, we need a wide receiver. First of all, this wide receiver class is okay.
Average.
It's not great. It's not there's not a lot of stars. The interior offensive line has some names. But at the same time, what's the cost? What's the opportunity cost there? This is where you start to talk about, hey, if we want to be good in the future, like there's been people I've heard talk about how, well, we got Hardy, right? We got him at wide receiver. Our wide receiver room is going to be fine. We have our top three. We have Shakir, who should factor into that top 3-4 rotation. We don't need anything else. That's cool if you're okay with the fact that one of your wide receivers is about to be 30, 31, and one of your wide receivers is probably not going to get re-signed next offseason cycle in Gabe Davis. Cool if you're happy with that. Or maybe you should start laying the foundation right now at the wide receiver position to get cheaper, more experienced. Now, I'm just talking about the top, like, 2-3 rounds where most of your day one starting talent would come from. George Pickens type picks is what I'm thinking of.
So here's where you go with this. So you're right. You're absolutely right with the wide receiver.
You have to start building that room out, because if you don't, in the future, you're going to be left with nothing that isn't expensive.
And it's also because of scheme, too, because the Bills are one of few teams in the NFL that 80% of the time, they have 4 wide receivers on the field.
Yes.
They use them. They use them. So the name of the game here, like, again, you guys are saying about listen to Bean. The name of the game right now is get Josh as many weapons as you can, okay? If you had 4 wide receivers that could produce and that could do things for him,
sure.
It's not a waste.
No.
It's not.
And at the same time, defensive end. If I'm looking at the defense, like we talked about what he said about linebacker, I believe him that he believes that they listen. We've watched Kansas City suck at linebacker in the regular season for the last 2-3 years, and they're a very good football team.
I agree with you 100%. I'm not worried about linebacker.
Defensive end is supposed to be one of this. Supposedly, we'll learn more about it as we go through there, Chris. As we go through our draft series with all of our various guests. Defensive ends, apparently this is a very, very deep. It's a very talented, yes. And it's a very deep class for defensive ends.
It's a very, here's what, if I could sum up, if I could sum up this defensive end class, it would be this. Athletic, extremely athletic, with little sample size.
Okay.
You have a lot of one-year wonders. So, that are coming out of
so
this
you
draft.
Could go fishing in the second, third round and get yourself a very impactful defensive end.
You could.
Like in Adolphus Washington.
It's Adolphus. But, it's like, Adolphus.
It's like pulling a... Wait, he had a gun in a water park?
You know the, fuck your couch, you rich motherfucker.
He had a gun in a water park. That's all I can... Like, Adolphus Washington, I don't remember his career as a Bill. I just remember you brought a gun to a water park.
That is true.
What are you expecting to go wrong here?
With
that in mind, defensive ends remain a smart investment in this draft. So now as we start to think about where our weaknesses are and how this draft aligns... This draft class, running back, interior offensive line is strong, wide receiver is average, defensive end is a deep class. Doug, this is where, and this is kind of why we brought you in for this segment, you're going to talk about something that just fucking boils my... It boils my balls.
I know it does.
Chris,
so,
we're talking about mock drafts.
So
we're talking about how draft boards amongst mock drafts have been falling. One of the things... that I think fans lose perspective on is it is hard to navigate. Like now that we've kind of set the table of where our needs are, what's important, what might not be so important, where our GM has flat out told us. For all the EJ Sliders in the world who go, well, all you guys got to do is draft Jack Campbell. They probably don't want to spend another first round pick on Jack Campbell. Just go over to golongtd.com. Go read Ty Dunn's article that got released today about the reckoning the Bills are staring down the barrel of. You've tried to do the elite defense. You've tried it for how long? It hasn't gotten you to a Super Bowl. It's time to switch course. Go whole hog on the offense. You have to. Yeah. You're doing your generational quarterback a disservice.
I couldn't agree with you more.
So with that in mind, like we're talking about all this, the board still has to fall your way to allow that to happen.
Right.
You as a GM can't just go into the draft and go, well, I've got a first round pick. That should net me the thing I want. You, Doug, choose to wade into these fucking waters that I don't want to understand them. When did you start doing mock drafts again?
I started doing them week 10.
Fuck you.
Again, it's because, first of all, I do enjoy it. I do like the journey because my initial mock draft from week 10 is night and day from where they are at now. Because college football, the landscape, you have people emerge left and right, you know, just out of the blue. Free agency does change a lot. You know what I mean? Especially when teams invest. Maybe not the Bills so much because they didn't throw out any 4-year, $100 million contracts. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So when I look at this roster right now, even after free agency that has been going on up till this point. So to me, there are needs at I am not going to include early. I'm just going to go off of the first round right now.
Okay.
I'm not going to say middle linebacker because, again, I'm going to believe Bean when he says he is comfortable with one of these three guys that we have already filling that position.
Even if it does seem like that meme where they're like, hey, Brandon Bean, we need him. It's like, hey, Mom, I want McDonald's. And she goes, right. Hey, we have McDonald's at home.
Right.
Bills fans are like, hey, we need a middle linebacker. And Brandon Bean goes, we have a middle linebacker at home, and it's Baylen Specter.
So if you're not wrong. So if you, again, though, but you have to break things down, too. Like, if you look at the last draft, I did a lot of my homework on Baylen Specter, and I did a lot of my homework on Terrell Bernard. Bernard's specialty is a coverage linebacker.
He's a weak side linebacker.
How many teams, so well, think about me though, just scheme-wise, how many teams, with the exception of Tennessee and Houston with Damian Pierce, run it up your gut? How many?
Not a lot.
Okay.
They try to get on the outside. They try. Okay.
They do. So I want an athletic linebacker there who is outstanding in coverage because when he was at Baylor, I can't believe he made it to the third round. When we drafted him last year, I go, this guy has been in over 98 pass coverages. 98, okay? He's never given up a touchdown. He's never given up a touchdown. His guy, who he has, he's never given up one. I want those statistics. I want that guy on my team because the NFL right now, trend-wise, is a passing league, okay? There's not 24 Derrick Henrys in the league. There's one. You know what I mean? There's not many teams that are just going to run it up.
What do you think?
Not going to do that.
Chris, when you're hearing this, as the lay fan,
the only thing that I can think of right now is that Baylen Specter's girlfriend and I, we get our hair cut at the same place.
Jesus Christ!
It's the only thing I'm thinking about.
I like it though. That's aggressive. aggressive. But if you look at
the point remains. Yeah. So Terrell Bernard.
Right. So you have to go off of like if I am just dissecting.
Well, this is positionless linebacker. Like so, people last offseason, people talked about let's go positionless on offense. Let's just have a bunch of playmakers, throw them out in space and see what happens. The Bills sound like they're ready to do that at linebacker and go, listen, we know now that Bernard has seen an NFL season. We know he's an athlete. We know he can cover in space. He now understands what it is to try to run support.
Well,
in
you
the
need
NFL.
To think of like it just the writing's on the wall. If you just use common sense. You think for 1 second if Bean and McDermott didn't think that middle linebacker was make or break to win a Super Bowl,
they would have gone.
You
done
don't
something.
Think they're going to pay
a Perryman,
a homegrown dude that they traded up to get.
Or a Denzel Perryman who's no, making it. Well,
they wouldn't
no, but
even,
that's my point. When
they wouldn't
signed,
even want that. They would have said, you know what? We are going to pay our guy who we traded up to get who has gotten better every single year. We are going to break the bank. You want $18 million a year and $50 million guaranteed? You want a four-year contract that is going to be the richest inside linebacker in NFL history? I got you. They didn't even entertain it.
So my thing was, you didn't entertain it, but a part of it's like, all right, maybe that's just because you saw it and you saw what the market is. But to your point, they probably know, like, look, we've done enough. We think we're done being rich on the defensive side of the ball.
Right.
Now, that brings us to where you fucking exist in this mock draft nonsense. Chris, it kills me to have to talk about this. But mock drafts can be, and I have to admit this, even though I hate seeing them on Twitter, I hate those of you who tweet them at us, which, Chris, I love that you just constantly encourage people to do this nonsense.
Yeah. If you got a mock draft, tweet at us, at Rock Pile Report. Always tag us. Drew loves to see it. I'll retweet them.
But there is some value when you do them. Doug, you've been doing them for a while. Who are some of the names that you see? Because this is what I want fans, as you start to understand how the Bills offseason is going to cultivate or culminate in the draft, and how our draft series is going to be staggered over the next next series of weeks.
So,
kind of how we arrived at this, it's because when you look at how the board generally falls in these sorts of things, using common sense, obviously you can't let... When people start pick, it's not a fantasy draft. It's literally just quality. Quality of player, who's available. Doug, what have you gleaned from your fucking ridiculous ad nauseum time spent doing mock draft?
After the thousands and thousands of mocks that I've done.
I hate you.
I know, but I enjoy it. After the thousands that I've done, I've come up to this, that if you look at the roster, and again, free agency, like I said, changes everything. Okay. Some of the names that... That's a very nice rip there, Drewski. You know, some of the names that consistently come up right now with the Bills, because let's look at the roster, okay? Again, we took middle linebacker out of it, okay? D-end. It's a need, okay? Right?
Yep.
Am I right? Right or wrong?
Correct.
Tight end.
Yep.
It's a need.
Yes.
Wide receiver. It's another need.
Yes.
Interior line. Remember, these contracts that they just signed, they're not big-term money deals that you have to commit to.
No.
Okay.
So what you're doing is, again, like we talked about, you're rounding out the sharp edges. You've set yourself up for taking whoever you want at any of these positions.
So I truly believe and I think it's just in me as a fan being just cemented it more with the free agent signings that he has done. I think... Unless the board falls a certain way, this pick in the first round, Bills fans, is going to be offense. Whether that is interior lineman like an Osiris Torrance out of Florida.
See, I don't think Torrance is the right type of lineman.
See, I think he is so good at interior guard. What are the Bills like? The Bills like versatility, right?
Yeah.
Okay? He's not. He is a one-position dude. That mofo is going to play left or right guard and be a beast. He is a great pass blocker. He is a great run blocker.
It's why I think they like a guy like a John Michael Schmitz.
Like, well, see, out of Minnesota, and like I can always – the wild card here is what they're going to do with Mitch Morris. No one knows. They could cut him after June 1st
he
and save
retire.
Almost – I'm just saying. They can cut him after June 1st, okay, and save almost $9 million. Why do you think they signed McGovern so quick?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, me as a fan, just thinking about it, is guard the most sexy pick in the world? No. But who are you paying the most on your team?
All right.
Where did he get crushed last year, specifically the Cincy game when we were all there?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so where would you want to invest? Okay. There's a couple things that throw wrenches into this. All right, and I'm going to get into it right now. The first thing that throws a wrench into this, I'm going to save my best that I know you're going to hate for last. The first thing is this. What happens if, I don't think it'll ever happen, but we have to talk about it. What happens if a Jalen Carter falls? I'm not even saying fall to you at 27. What happens if Jalen Carter falls to 21? What happens if a Nolan Smith falls to you?
True.
What do you do? They have their board set up. You have the luxury of
being... But if a rock star falls in your lap...
You take them. Because you have to... Let's be honest with
you. It's the value of the... Because again, and for everyone listening to this, if the value of the board... Like, that's why Bean does these things. Is so that he can let the value of the draft fall to him. Right?
That's very true. You know what I mean? But here's the thing. Like, if any of us were to go into this draft room or any of these GM's draft rooms... They have to meet with – they have to talk about Will Anderson. They have to talk about, you know, Tyree Wilson. They have to talk about Christian Gonzalez. There's no way that they're going to get them, but they still have to rank them in case yes. some sort of miracle or weirdness happens. Here's what the Bills have going in their favor. You have four quarterbacks that are going to be drafted. You have at least four corners, and you don't need a corner in the first round.
No.
You have at least four corners.
You don't need a corner – until the end of the draft.
I'm just saying, you have at least four corners that are going to be drafted before you, okay? So there are picks right there that benefit you because you don't need that position. You know what I mean?
Yep.
If I look at this roster right now, I need a D-end, I need a wide receiver, I need an interior, another interior offensive lineman, I need high-quality depth at offensive tackle, and I need, I'm about to say it, Drew. This might be the year that the Bills draft a tight end. High. It might not be the first round. They might not draft Kincaid. They might not draft a Darnell Washington. I guarantee you if they're picking on day two and Sam Laporta is sitting there and they didn't draft a tight end in the first round, they're going to. Because, Chris, back me up on this. I said it when we were talking to Elf, the Miami Dolphins guy. Where did Ken Dorsey come from? He came from the land of options when he was the quarterback. Andre Johnson, Santana Moss, Jeremy Shockey, Kellen Winslow Jr., Willis McGahee, Clinton Portis, Frank Gore.
The fact that you had McGahee and Portis on the same team, fuck you.
I'm just saying, you have options galore. Now, I don't want to bring up his name because it's, you know, ever since Netflix and everything like that. Do you guys remember how hard it was for the NFL to stop Gronk and Aaron Hernandez?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? And on top of that, adding Randy Moss? Can you imagine having Dawson Knox, Darnell Washington, or Kincaid, Diggs, Gabe Davis, and imagine if they trade for DeAndre Hopkins? Good luck. Good luck stopping that team. And what does Brandon Bean love? What does he love? He loves a freaky athlete. Yeah. Well, did you guys watch the combine? I did. You know who Darnell Washington is? This dude is a 6'7", 265-pound tight end who ran a 4.4, who on purpose was making one-handed catches on the sidelines.
Now, Chris, I'll say this. I already can hear the criticism from people about Darnell Washington, and the one thing I will say is that that's the exact logic they used to pick Dawson Knox. They said, listen, this guy's a freak athlete. He's already shown us what he can do. It's not our fault they didn't throw him the ball much. His statistics in Georgia, like there will be teams that don't take him because they look at him and go, well, you didn't show it in the box score. Who gives a fuck? They hit another star tight end.
Right.
Where does that tight end get drafted?
Early.
You're talking about multiple tight ends who get drafted early.
No one ever.
Now, here's the best part, though. So what was that guy's name? I'm going to Google it right now. For Georgia.
Darnell Washington.
No, the other tight end they had that Georgia had.
What year? This year?
Championship winning season.
We're all stumped. We don't know any Georgia tight ends. The only one that comes up is Darnell Washington.
No, it was a big white dude.
I've never heard of that happening at that position.
Out of Washington or out of Georgia?
Georgia Bulldogs.
You're not going to find it. I don't think it exists.
Tight ends 2021.
You know, so all I'm saying is...
Brock Allen Bowers.
Who?
Brock Bowers. Who?
Stop.
He won the John Mackey Award.
Stop.
He won the John Mackey Award and the SEC's Freshman of the Year. Back-to-back seasons of being one of the nastiest
It's because he's still
football.
In college.
Hang on. Whoa.
He's Look a sophomore.
That. He's a sophomore. He can't even come out yet.
But he has 20 touchdowns. He's been the feature act in that offense. So they've had a tight end who, as a freshman, scored 13 touchdowns.
Hold on, but wait a minute.
Hang on. And Darnell Washington has been on that team. The fact that they're talking about him as a first-round pick, it's straight attributes.
But what do they have? Hold
now,
on. Wait.
Hang on. Whoa. But here's the point I'm trying to make. All attributes. There will be teams that look at Darnell Washington and say, he doesn't have the box score numbers. Why? Because Brock Bowers was the truth. He was drawing coverage. He was TE1. This guy was TE2. But then you have Brandon Bean, who looked at this and went, you know what? This Dawson Knox, he hasn't done fuck all in college football. Do I care? Nah. I see raw traits. I see a giant lump of clay that I think our coaching staff can work with.
And look at, like, your point. Washington's got a lot of talent around him at Georgia, right? Right? A lot.
Yes.
What does he have here?
A lot of talent around him.
You're in the same position. Why wouldn't you have a double-headed monster? I'm just saying, I'm going off of track record. Yeah. He likes the big athletic freak. If I was a GM, me personally.
That's the pick.
I would be going off of tape.
I could see
instead
it.
Instead of that. I'm just saying, I think they're at the point where we just saw the Eagles get to a Super Bowl by sacking the quarterback over 70 times.
Yep.
Did they win?
No.
Okay. You brought up earlier, Kansas City, mediocre guys around them. Let's break that down more. With the exception of Kelsey, who was a third-round pick out of Cincinnati, Kadarius Toney, first round. Schuster, first round. There are other guys, second round, first round. Now, they didn't draft them all.
No.
But they signed them. They're all either first, second, or third round. They are. Keep. What hasn't this regime done? What haven't they done yet? That's what they have not done yet. I understand Bean doesn't like to draft offensive line early. Mm-hmm. He hasn't shown it. With the exception of Cody Ford in the second.
How'd that
work?
Swing
and missed.
He's playing for the Bengals, by the way.
But you also hit on Wyatt Teller. And unfortunately, you had to get rid of him before you could let him develop. But you hit on that pick. You know what I mean? It's just like last year. Okay, say you're a GM. Say you're my boss and I'm the GM and you're the owner. And I draft Elam and I draft Benford. Okay? Do you give a shit which one of them turns into a Hall of Famer?
Nope.
As long as one of them does,
somebody
right?
Somebody better go out there and play.
So we were talking before we started the show, we were talking about Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver, right now. I remember that draft. I was in your basement. Right now on this current team, would you rather have Ed Oliver on this team or would you rather have TJ Hockenson on this team? Right now, who would you rather have? Right now, who would you rather have?
It's not fair, but I'll say it. I've watched Ed Oliver get paid a lot of money to be a guy who gets outplayed by other three techs.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather have a TJ Hockenson.
All day.
So with that in mind, this makes sense. Now, I get that that's where this has gone, and you've seen it in your mock drafts that you've done. Who are some other names that you see falling? They're mostly offensive players, aren't they?
So they're mostly offensive players. Like, the one who keeps coming up a lot, his name is Zay Flowers.
You literally have it up in front of me. You just did a mock draft.
And it came
Fuck
up.
You,
and, it
you ca- just,
and it came up
Chris,
Zay Flowers.
He did a mock draft in our studio. I need to lysol this fucking play.
So Zay Flowers is, if you don't know who he is, he's out of Boston College. He is not your outside type of guy. For fans of the NFL, this is exactly who Zay Flowers is after the game tape that I've watched of him. He is Steve Smith with a burst. That's who he is. You're telling me you wouldn't take Steve Smith on this offense?
First of all, what I'll say is, those are fighting words. No one is Steve Smith, because Steve Smith was going to punch his quarterback in the mouth.
I'm just saying, would you take a type of player like a Steve Smith right now?
I would
right
take
now.
A guy who played a tough, physical, short man's short area game.
Right. And that's where – what is – I hate bringing them up, but unfortunately, they're the bar.
They are the
cream of the crop. Yep. It's the Chiefs. What is Andy Reid the best at? He is the best at scheming open 10-yard situations.
Chris, we saw the chart.
Chris,
we talked
right?
About it. No, we talked about it on the podcast. They showed the heat map between Allen and Mahomes. Mahomes, where he throws most of his passes, are within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage in the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
He does not throw deep.
Right.
He doesn't. He rarely airs it out. He lives within the scheme, and he thrives as a quarterback.
Yep.
Allen is the guy who's forced to go yard. Mm-hmm. He's the one who's like, fuck it, I trust my guy in one-to-one coverage, and I think I can throw a nice ball. It's him trying to beat the defense instead of the scheme beating the defense.
Yep.
That's the difference between these two quarterbacks, and it's the difference between their fortunes. It's been the guy who gets to ride the best offensive coordinator in the AFC versus the guy who has the best tools and is just, he's stuck.
Well, that's why, like, again, I try to put it all together like a puzzle, and free agency definitely helps that. And I go and I'm like, okay, what's the Bills' track record? The Bills' track record is to draft defensive linemen high. That is the Bills' track record. You have a lot invested in the first two rounds.
That's okay? All they've done.
All right.
All they've done, outside of Josh Allen, is invest picks in the defense.
So
and it's gotten them fuck all.
It's right. I agree with you. So I think that they're finally at a point
that we
I don't
hope.
Know if it's I don't know if it's
maybe they don't,
I don't know if it's Kyle. I don't know if it's another Dorsey in the room with a different voice. I'm sure Brian Daboll, when he was here, was begging for it.
Hey, do you want to know?
I
the
think
Giants. The Giants signed Tommy Sweeney.
So I did. I saw that, and they signed Crowder too.
They're taking all of the guys who were brought in under.
So I think that based on what they've done so far, that the goal is to get Josh another weapon, whether it be wide receiver, tight end, anything like that. And with the exception of one of the top defensive tackle or the top one of the top three defensive ends falling,
Nolan Smith,
I think that they go off course for that, because you can sell me that as a fan. Why did you draft a D end? Or a D tackle at 27.
Because he's a top five
talent. He's a top five pick and he fell.
Who might have killed a guy?
Right.
That, but hey.
Right. I'm just saying.
Hey, Ray Lewis almost did it.
I'm just saying that's why. Now, there's a couple mock drafts that I've done too that I've been on different sites. It has an offensive tackle falling to the Bills. And the reason I always pass on that in the first round is because of this reason. When the Bills got knocked out of the playoffs and Brandon Bean had his press conference, you know who one of the first persons to defend was? Spencer Brown. He was one of the first ones to defend. I understand that he's 6'8", 6'7"?
6'8".
Yeah, 6'8", 6'7". You want to try having a 300-pounder push you around with a back injury?
Yeah.
I'm going to cut him some slack. It was his second year. He had a great first end of the first year. For him,
yes,
he had a very bad second year, but I don't know. I don't care how much money these guys make. The elephant in the room is injuries, and unfortunately, ask the 49ers about this. Injuries matter.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about next guy step up. Very true.
Yeah, but Doug,
there's a difference between a dude making $25 million a year and a dude making $2 million a
it's
year.
It's literally the movie, it's literally The Longest Yard.
Right.
And it's me being Brucey going, it's Brucey's time to shine, coming in off the bench to play quarterback.
Whatever, Beck Freckles.
And then I just get my ass handed to me.
Right. So there's a difference there. Now, again, if you're just a casual fan and you don't look into depth about this stuff, and again, you just want to watch on Sundays, and that's as far as you take it. No problem. Whatever. I'm
Doug,
just telling you this right now.
You've seen
if Jalen Carter falls to 21 or 22, and the Bills trade up for that dude and give up their second round pick and third round pick, or next year's second and third, I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with it.
Because that's an astronomical event.
Because that's like, that, it's mind-blowing.
But otherwise, what you see is
offense.
It's all offense. It's falling to the Bills in the first round. There's no defensive picks there that makes sense.
No.
So if the Bills do it, it'd be a travesty. But also, that'll kind of color where we go with our off-season draft coverage. Because realistically, Chris, need meets the way the class is, the draft class as a whole is kind of shaped. It seems to be kismet that we finally have a year where this team has no excuse to stop taking defensive players and invest in the things around Josh Allen, because realistically, those are the things that should be there when you're on the clock.
So, Chris, let me ask you something.
Yep.
Play devil's advocate with me. The Bills trade Ed Oliver to the Cardinals for DeAndre Hopkins, and it doesn't cost them their first-round pick. Let's just say it's Ed Oliver and their fifth-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins, okay? Now you have a hole at D-tackle, right?
Yeah.
Let's just say a Brian Breesy, a Kalijah Kansi. Let's just say one of those guys are there in the first round. Are you okay drafting them?
No.
Why?
Because what I'd rather do is I'd rather go out and I'd still rather take a Darnell Washington. I'd rather try Dalton Kincaid. More.
More.
I am that GIF from Star Wars. More. Give me more of the bullshit that I can rain down on my opponents, because I don't give a fuck if we hemorrhage rushing
yards. I'm fine with that.
I don't give a fuck if you run for 115 yards a game against my team. Offense is going to score 28.
That's
every
the name
week.
Of the game.
Go catch me.
Yep.
That's it.
So when you guys are over.
Run the Jewels has a song called Catch Me. That's it. That's who I am as the Buffalo
Bill. You know what this is? This is McDermott playing every single day when he gets in his office in his morning and has his black coffee. He plays AC/DC beating around the bush. That's exactly what he does every day. You know what I mean? So I just want to ask you something. When you guys come over to my house this year for the big draft party for the first round, you will not punch my wall if at 27 we draft Dalton Kincaid.
No.
Or down on Washington.
No, we're fired up.
You're going to be
pumped.
We're
fired up. It's party time.
All right. Well, I'm going to throw something out at you. I'm going to throw something weird. All right. Now, this is just because of the contract numbers and how they're not committed, with the exception of Cook.
Yep.
Bijan Robinson's at 27.
Pass.
Hold on. Bijan Robinson's at 27.
Pass.
This is where.
They take him. What's your. Chris, because you said it twice, Chris, I want to ask you first. What's your initial reaction if they draft him at 27?
The cost you have to fix the hole in the wall in your garage from Drew.
You'd be that mad?
I wouldn't. I mean, I would be mad, but not mad enough to put a hole in the wall in your garage. But I know Drew would, or flip a table, or throw a table at a nearby vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'll say.
Hold on.
Hey, whoa. I'm willing. This is what I'm willing to say, Doug, as we end the show. I am willing to wait and hear from Matt Waldman what he thinks. Matt will be on the show in 2 weeks, Chris.
Yep.
2 weeks from now, we'll be talking to Matt Waldman as we start our draft process. Running back's where we start, and we usually work from the position I think we're least likely to draft towards most likely. So this is interesting. 2 weeks from now, we'll be talking to Matt Waldman from the Rookie Scouting Portfolio to get a feel for this running back class, and I will be sure to talk to him about Bijan Robinson and all the love he's getting to the Buffalo Bills and whether the juice is worth this squeeze. Based on what he has to say, will dictate how much damage I do on draft day.
So, as we end the show, we're an hour and 15 in, and for the 50 people that watch this on YouTube, if you guys didn't know, I've been uploading regularly to our YouTube, at least one of our shows a week on YouTube. People have been watching this on YouTube going, is that a can of whipped cream on the table? That has been unexplained, sitting on the table.
So Doug fished this out of the fridge when he went to go get our Czech beers.
It was near the Czech beers, boys.
Yeah, is that unopened?
It's unopened.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
Drew, basically, what you and Chris just told me as we end the show, basically, Chris just you guys just told me that if the Bills at 27 draft Jahmyr Gibbs, you're going to you're going to shoot heroin in my basement. That's basically what they you guys just said.
Jahmyr Gibbs at 27, I'll burn your house down.
You guys are going to be John Travolta in Pulp Fiction in my basement. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Absolutely. Now do a shot of this. You're the one who brought it out. There we go. All right. Guys, this has been fun. I like talking about this kind of stuff because even as I hate mock drafts, I hate doing them, I hate the fact that they exist. They do tell you a little bit about how people think the draft board should fall. There will be reaches. There will be guys who slide. But when you're a good football team at the bottom of the draft,
14-3, boys.
Realistically, there's only a handful of guys who fall that far to begin with. And so with that, I look at the talents that could be there, and you say to yourself, maybe. Like, there's obviously the if somehow, like, I expect teams to draft Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, he should be taken in the teens.
He should be taken within before 15.
So people are like, oh, he could fall to the... No, he won't. No, he won't. Why? Because he's shown he can do things at his pro day that he's all... Like, NFL-caliber things in college that he could also do. Like, it's just crazy. If he's there, I'll cream.
Right.
But, realistically, it's all up to chance. It's all happenstance.
No. There's also wrenches that are thrown in this, exactly. Just like last year. Hollywood Brown traded on day one. A.J. Brown traded on day one.
A guy with a gas mask and a bong all of a sudden shows up.
Who just got paid from Houston with no agent. 3 years, $75 million. Go get your money.
Guys, I can't wait to see how this plays out, and I can't wait to get into our draft content. It's coming up week after week. We're going to have a lot of fun shows ahead of us.
Oh, I'll be back, boys.
Talking to draft experts. We're bringing Doug back for just random nonsense. But for tonight, we got to get the fuck out of here. I'm Drew Geer. That's Chris Krueger. That's Doug Roloski. And this has been the Rock Pile Report.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.